$5 from this one.
The Gemara in Ervin and Afton Aleph Amin Aleph derives from the pasuk in this week's Sedra Parshas Beshalach of Al Yetzei Ish Mim Kamo Bayamashvi in the Parshas Haman, that there is an Isser of Tchum Shabbos. You're not allowed to walk outside of your Tchum, outside of the area where your Kona Shvi is, outside of the place of your dwelling on Shabbos. Now, whether Tchum is a Din D'Oraisa or Din D'Rabbanan is a major machlokas Rishonim. There are two levels of Tchum, and there's the practical Tchum that you're not allowed to walk 2,000 amos beyond your Makom Shvisa. And then there's a concept of Tchum and of Yud Beis Milin. So that's a machlokas Rishonim. Is anything D'Oraisa? Is Yud Beis Mil D'Oraisa? Is a Payim Amos D'Oraisa? That's not our topic this evening, so that's a major machlokas Rishonim. What's considered D'Oraisa? But there's definitely a din, be it the Raisa or Din Rabbanan, of Tuchumin, that you're not allowed to walk outside of 2,000 Amos from your dwellings. If you're spending Shabbos in the middle of nowhere in a desert, in an isolated area, without any houses around you, anyone else there, so then it's easy how to calculate your Tuchum. You are Kona Shvisa, where you begin Shabbos, and then you're allowed to walk to an Amos in any direction. What happens if you're not in the middle of nowhere, you're in the middle of somewhere, you're in a city? So the Gemara tells us on Daf Nun Hey in Erevin that the city for Hilchos Shabbos, for Hilchos Tchumen purposes, is defined as a minimum of three chatzeros, three courtyards, and each courtyard has to have a minimum of two houses. That's considered a city. And if you're living in a city, so then the Tchum Shabbos begins from outside of the city, from the border of the city. So in the city, you're allowed to walk freely. And then your 2,000 amos begin, you have to count your 2,000 amos from the edge of the city. The houses have to be within 70 and two-thirds amos of each other in order to be considered part of the same unit, part of the same city. City isn't defined based on municipal boundaries. It's defined based on that number, the minimum number of houses and chazeros that are within a certain proximity to each other. So if you have a lot of houses, but there are more than 70 and two-thirds amos between the houses, then there's no tzivuch between those houses, and that doesn't have the din of a city for the purposes of tchumen. Or let's say you have two different cities, and the cities are within 70 and two-thirds amos times two, 141 and a third amos of each other, so then those would be considered to be joined for purposes of tchumen. What we'll discuss this evening is, how do you calculate the boundary of a city? So the Gemara tells us in Ervin on Daf Nunhei Amin Aleph that there are different shapes of cities, and depending on how the city is shaped, there may be different ways of calculating the Tchum outside of the city and what's considered the city boundary for purposes of Tchum Shabbos. The Gemara tells us, Tana Rabbanan, Ervin Nunhei Amin Beis, so how do you create an Ibur Ha'ir? An Ibur Ha'ir is the area around the city that is considered part of the city for purposes of Tchum Shabbos. So the Milashen Muberes, like a pregnant woman's body is expanded because she's pregnant, so the city is expanded because there are these allowances for how you calculate the outer limit of the city. So Keitzen Ma'abrin Es Arim, Aruka Kamos Shehi, so if it's a regular rectangular city structure, so then that rectangle is the boundary of the city, and you don't add anything on. Agula, what happens if it's a circular city? So it's their houses in a circle. Osinla Zavia. So then you make corners, you box out the circle, you make a square around the circle, and then the boundary of the city for purposes of Tchumen is the square and not the circle. It's a picture here in Rashi, if you're looking at a Gemara. Mirubas, however, if the city is square, ein osim lazavias, then you don't make corners. Haisa rechavim mitzad echad u'gesar mitzad acher, let's say it's wider on one side or narrow on the other side. Rowan asak ilu hishava. So then you smooth out the edges, you make it all even. Haya bayis echad yosekim in pagov, let's say you have one city that sticks out, one house that sticks out. Oshnei batim yosin kamin shnei pegumim, or two houses that stick out. So then you draw a line to include those houses that stick out. And then you measure 2,000 amos further out. And then the Gemara tells us if you have a city that's shaped like a keshes, or shaped like a bow, or shaped like a gamma, so then you view the open areas if it was filled up with houses, and you measure on that basis. So the Gemara tells us there are different shapes of cities that have different ways of measuring them for purposes of Tuchum Shabbos.
I was wondering, you can have a square like this,
right?
You can have a square like this, you can have a square like this, and the square turns around and turns into a circle too.
It turns into a circle?
Yeah, because you have this point that comes around, it'll turn into a circle. You're putting it into this area.
If you draw a line. Well, if you're drawing the line while you're turning it.
Right.
So you don't draw the line while you're turning
it. You're squaring it out.
Then you get dizzy.
Right.
But the Gemara tells us now in Daf Nun Vav and Aleph that how do you bass out a city? So the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, Bala Rava Maraba Bribua Olam. So when you're going to make a square, meaning you have a city where it's not already squared out, a city that you're making a box around, so then you make the box based on Ribua Olam. Ribua Olam means the natural direction. It means that you're going to make a square, you're going to make a square based on absolute north to absolute south.
Why north, south versus east, west? Why is that natural direction?
The natural direction is, if you're standing here and you're making a square, so you're making a square looking up, so to speak. So the Gemara says that Yom Rabbeya Beribua Shel Olam. So what does that mean, and how does that apply? So there's a lashon of the Rashban Dafnei Heyamid Aleph. The Rashban in Heyamid Aleph Dibur Maskil Gemara quotes in the Ravid. Dekevan Sheyesh La Zavias. Here there are, let's translate it now as corners. Ein Choshishin Liriva Liribua Olam. Liraba Liribua Olam. So then we're not Mirabeya based on Ribua Shel Olam. So what does that mean? So in this beautiful sefer on Hilchos Kumin called the Kiryas Ariel, written by Rabbi Ephraim Ariel Buchwald, no relation to the Rabbi Ephraim Buchwald of Enjop fame. This is Rabbi Ephraim Buchwald of Bnei Brak, probably the only Bnei Braker who's written an article in Torah Mada Journal. He annotated the Ravid's Bali Nefesh on Hilchos Nida, which is a wonderful work, and he has an article in one of the Torah Mada journals, which is a critique of Dr. Graf's essay on the Ravid. So be that as it may, so he has a sefer here, Kiryas Ariel, Beiruim Behilchos Tum Shabbos Behamis Taif. So he thinks that the kavana of this Rashi B'Shem Ravid is what the Chazanish terms in another context, or in the same context, Tzela Yeshira. That if you have one side of the city that has a straight line, so then you're going to be Merabeya, not Beribua Shel Olam, not based on the absolute north-south, but based on that straight line of the city. Meaning, let's say you have a city where one of the boundaries goes like that, so it's not going due north, so then I'm going to be Merabeya based on the Tzela Yeshira, based on the straight line, and not Merabeya based on Ribua Shel Olam. He points out that the Torah doesn't sound like the way, but that is the Kavana of the Rashba B'Shem HaRavid. So the Chazanish writes, in Simen Kuf Yud Os Kuf Gimel, that this is the halacha, that if you have a city that has a side which goes straight, even if it's not going due north, then you are merabeya based on that side. However, the Chazanish raises the question, what happens where it doesn't go straight all the way? Meaning you have it going straight part of the way, and then it's going in this direction part of the way, and then it curves down. So the Chazanish writes that in any situation where it's not absolutely clear how you're merabeya, is if there's no Tzela Yeshira, so then the default is you go Ribu Shel Olam, you're merabeya due north. If there is a Tzela Yeshira, then you follow a Tzela Yeshira. And if it's unclear exactly how you're going to cheshbon, it could go either way, so then you have to be machmir for all possibilities, meaning the only part of the city that's going to be, or you're going to start calculating the tchum from whatever part of the city is considered to be within the ribua l'choladeus. So if you have any shilas to how you're merabeya, then you have to be machmir in such a way that you're going to account for all possibilities. That's what the Chazon Ish writes initially in Siman Kuf Yud Os Kaf Gimel, and then the Chazon Ish writes three paragraphs later, Os Kaf Vav, that where it's unclear what to do, so then the default is you are Mirabeya Biribu Shalolam. So he seems to contradict himself. The first place he writes, you have to be Choshesh for all the possibilities, and the second place he writes that you're Mirabeya Biribu Shalolam, the default is you go due north. So Rabbi Buchwald writes that he thinks the Chazon Ish was Choser. Sounds like that the first thing is what he said initially, and then his conclusion was that the default is your Mirabeya Biribu Shalolam. But he's not sure about that. He thinks that maybe you can get out of the stira, and he leaves that unresolved. Then he quotes from the Alter Rebbe and the Chai Adam that they argue and they think that you're Mirabeya Biribu Shalolam even if there is a Tzeli Yeshira, that you always go with Biribu Shalolam even if there is a straight side that's going a direction other than due north. So the Chazon Ish comes down saying that you follow the Tzeli Yeshira. It's just questionable what he holds if there's some confusion as to if there is a Tzeli Yeshira. And the Shulchan Aruch Rav and the Chai Adam Paskin that you don't follow the Tzeli Yeshira, you always go Beribua Shel Olam. Okay. So many Poskim assume that we do follow the Chazon Ish where you have a Tzeli Yeshira, so then you're Merabeya based on that. Question is, where does Manhattan fall? So in Manhattan, I'm sorry we don't have a map to share, and this is a pretty poor map, but if you can just envision what Manhattan looks like, so on the western side of Manhattan, you have what's essentially a Tzeli Yeshira, pretty much a straight line that goes up from about 23rd Street all the way to the top of the island. However, below 23rd Street, it curves down in a different direction. So about 70% of Manhattan Island on the western side is the Tzeli Yeshira. It's going straight up. And the bottom 30%, let's say, goes down more Biribu Shalolam and not at its own curve. Okay? So Rabbi Willer thinks that, yeah, we should paskin like the Chazon Ish that you follow at Tzeli Yeshira, but Manhattan doesn't have a Tzeli Yeshira. Tzeli Yeshira means 100% or 95% or maybe 90%. But here it's only 70%. It's only from 23rd Street and up. But below 23rd Street all the way down to the Battery, that's a different line. So then you'd be Mirabeya Biribu Shalolam. So if you're Biribu Shalolam in Manhattan, starting at the bottom, so then your box is going to go straight up and cut through New Jersey, cut through Fort Lee, and get you basically into southern Teaneck, maybe around Cedar Lane or just a drop south of it, before you have to curve going eastward and then hit the northernmost tip of Manhattan. So if that is how your Mirabeya, if your Mirabeya Manhattan Biribua Shel Olam, so then certain parts of northern New Jersey are part of the Tzum of Manhattan. And then there's no problem walking over the George Washington Chavez, because the other side of Fort Lee is part of Manhattan's Tzum. That's Rabbi Willig's position. Rav Schachter thinks that no, we follow the Tzeli Yeshira, and this is enough of a Tzeli Yeshira. 70% of the side goes up in that direction, and that's considered a Tzeli Yeshira. So you are Mirabeya Manhattan based on that Tzeli Yeshira. So then if you're drawing the box that way, so then the box is going to go up to the tip of Manhattan. It's going to cut across maybe into this part of the Bronx, and then come down again over here. And then the George Washington Bridge is not inside the Tzum. And then you would not be able to freely walk over the George Washington Bridge on Shabbos. And that is Rav Schachter's position.
What is the amount of space in houses between the beginning of the bridge and the end of the bridge?
Much more than the allowed space. Much more than 141 amas. Much more.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So this is also relevant. It's good that Chaim's here, to the Williamsburg Bridge. Apparently it's been a long standing practice of residents of Williamsburg to walk over the Williamsburg Bridge on Shabbos, the Lower East Side, and probably back as well.
My great grandparents did that. Okay. And the Romanian shul.
So and the Lower East Side. They lived in Logan, they walked in Williamsburg, and they walked over every Shabbos.
I don't know. I was told that's their shul.
That was their shul. There's no shuls in Williamsburg.
They're Romanian, I don't know.
So that was a shorter walk than back to Romania. So this presumably should be dependent. There's whole literature about the Williamsburg Bridge. The Minchas Yitzchak has a long tshuva about it. Chelek Zayin Siman Kaf Dalet. Chelek Zayin Siman Kaf Dalet. But it would seem that this question is relevant to the Williamsburg Bridge as well. Meaning, if you're Mirabeya Bribua Shel Olam, so then your box over here is going to cut down on the eastern side and cut through a swath of Brooklyn, including Williamsburg. So then presumably it would be permissible to walk without restriction between Williamsburg and the Lower East Side. If, however, your Mirabeya based on the Sela Yeshira, so then your line is going this way at this angle, and you're not including Williamsburg. I saw in the Sefer, Gvul Binyamin, written by Rav Baruch Shmuel Deutsch, regarding Erevin Tchumen issues in Lakewood. But he points out that there's another issue that I haven't independently explored, that maybe it's not so pashut, that even, however you're Mirabeya, maybe it's not Pasha that you can include a river in the Ribua. So I'm not sure where that came from. I hadn't encountered that independently, and I hadn't had a chance to, I just noticed the Sefer tonight, I didn't have a chance to look into it. But he claims that there's a Mashmos in Ramosha that way. Ramosha's tshuva about bridges as far as Irvin and Manhattan. Chelek Aleph Simcha Flamites. Ramosha has a line that Brooklyn would be considered inside the Tchum of Manhattan, but he doesn't say it's considered part of the same city. So if it's part of the Ribua, if it's part of the Ribua, so you should have said it's part of the same city. So again, I'm not exactly sure how this issue sources out, but he raises that as a potential secondary issue as well. But it would seem that this question of whether you can walk over the Williamsburg Bridge, just as a question as to whether you can walk over the George Washington Bridge, would be dependent on how you are Mirabeya Manhattan, at least so far. There's another issue we'll discuss in a moment, which would impact on this as well.
Is Pesach considered to be inside the Tchum?
Pesach is definitely not inside the Tchum according to the first map. However, the secondary question that we're going to talk now about is overlapping Ribuas. Let's say you have one Ribua, and then you have another Ribua that overlaps the first Ribua. So does that join those two Ribuas? So the question you're raising is relevant. I haven't mapped it out, so it could be even overlapping Ribuas won't help you with Pesach, but that is the next issue we'll have to explore. Okay, so once you determine how you're a Mirabeya city, so then what's the status of overlapping Ribuas? Meaning, let's say Manhattan has its Ribua, and then the Bronx has its Ribua. So Manhattan's Ribua, let's say you follow Rav Schechter's position, how to be Mirabeya Manhattan, so it doesn't cut into, it cuts into a little bit of the Bronx, doesn't cut into Riverdale, let's say. But Riverdale has its own Ribua. So, and the Riverdale Ribua could cut into, cut down. So if you have overlapping Ribuas, what do we do with overlapping Ribuas? Can you walk from one Ribua into another Ribua without restriction? So he points out, the curious Ariel, that this seems to be an issue that hasn't really been discussed so much in earlier sources for some reason, and something that was raised recently by more contemporary poskim, and not something that you have much of a discussion of in the earlier literature for one reason or another. So he points out that this should be dependent on how do we view Ribua Ha'ir. Is Ribua Ha'ir simply a detail in Hilchos Tchumen, that the boundary of the city is still the boundary of the city? Ribua Ha'ir tells you that when you're calculating the Tchumen, you can expand the boundary of the city, you can box it out, square it out, and then count your Tchum from the end of the square. But the city is still the city. The Ribua doesn't become part of the city. Or do you say that no, the license to be Mirabeya means that halachically we now view that entire Ribua as part of the city? So if it's the first option, that the city is still the city. It's just an allowance for Kumin, so then it doesn't really follow that you can carry from one Ribua into another Ribua, that overlapping Ribuas aren't going to help you. If the Ribua becomes part of the city, so then if one Ribua cuts into another Ribua, it means one city is overlapping with the other city, and then you should be able to walk freely from one to the other. So he thinks that Rovi showed him assume like the first possibility, that Ribua Ha'ir is only a detail in Hilchos Chubin. It doesn't mean fundamentally that the city is now defined as including the entire Ribua, which would be the more restrictive approach. But if you look in the way this is presented, Rabbi Willig pointed out, there are three possibilities in the contemporary poskim as to how to approach overlapping Ribuas, and all three possibilities are attributed to the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish said at least two things. The question is, what did he really mean in the end? Was there a Chazara? And everyone claims that the Chazon Ish follows his opinion. So let's go through this. Okay. So possibility number one is that there's no connection between the Ribuas at all. That if I have overlapping Ribuas, if city number two, part of city number two sticks into the Ribua of city number one, you're not allowed to walk from city number one to city number two, you're not allowed to walk from city number two to city number one, there's no connection between them, you have to follow the boundary of the city, and the Ribua doesn't help you. So the Kiryas Ariel thinks that this was the Maskan of the Chazon Ish, questionable whether that's 100% clear. Chazon Ish in Simen Kuf Yud Os Tesayin, Simen Kuf Yud Os Tesayin. He thinks that was the Chazon Ish's conclusion, and he thinks that's correct. Lahalacha. He points out that there is a instructions that were issued in the name of the Chazon Ish regarding Tel Aviv in the early 1950s, and based on the Chazon Ish's instructions as to Hilchos Chumen as relates to the greater Tel Aviv area, it was clear that he didn't think that overlapping Ribuas will help you. Okay, and he reprinted the Chazon Ish's letter and reprinted the maps of Tel Aviv from the time, beginning on page Kuf Nun. So he thinks that was the position of the Chazon Ish. And he wrote an article as well in Kovitz Beis Aharon v'Yisrael, volume Kuf Yud Ches, which he was responding to an essay written in an earlier volume of that journal by Rabbi Gabriel Ilovich, who I had previously encountered as having written a worthwhile article on the topic of the kashrus of commercially sold milk, which I quoted in my article on that topic. So in response to that article on the topic of Tchumen, he claims, excuse me, that Rav Yashiv was of this position as well, that Rav Yashiv was asked about whether you can walk freely from Bnei Brak to northern Tel Aviv, where there is a certain shtibel that people wanted to walk to, and Rav Yashiv apparently said you need to put down a Erev Tchumen because it's not considered part of the Tchumen, and that relates to this issue of overlapping Ribuas as well, that doesn't help you to walk from one to the other, or for the other to the one. Although in the Sefer Gavul we've shown him, about Lakewood Erevin, or Lakewood Chumen, Rabbi Yosef Yakubovich, he writes that he was told by some of the Kolam members in Edison that they once asked Rabbi Yashiv a similar question, Rabbi Yashiv told them that there's what to be makel about, so whatever these shmuas are, I can't speak to. Anyway, that's the first possibility, that overlapping Ribuas don't help you. You're stuck within your own Ribua, and if your Ribua goes into another Ribua, that doesn't give you any further license to walk outside of the initial Tchum. Possibility number two is that even if, let's say in this picture, if you could take a look at this tiny picture here, pardon the size, so the main box is city number one, and the second box is city number two. So the Ribua of city number two extends into city number one. You know, this is where there are houses in city number one. This is an open area. This is the ribu of the city. And then city number two extends into the ribu of city number one. So the second possibility is that in this picture where city number two extends into the ribu of city number one, so since city number two has now entered the ribu of city number one, they're allowed to carry, to walk freely through city number one. However, number one is constrained by its own ribua and can't walk into city number two.
Well, the whole city should be considered four amos, right? So,
no, so you have 2,000 amos from the end of the ribua, but you can't walk past 2,000 amos, meaning you could walk 2,000 amos into city number two, but you can't walk past that.
But isn't city number two considered four amos? So even if it's...
No, it's only four amos if you start there or if you get stuck there. But you can't you can't leave your tchum. Once you leave your tchum, then you don't have a license to walk beyond that, even if you're ready into another city. Okay, so that's possibility number two, that if you have city number two extending into the ribu of city number one, then city number one can walk in. City number two can walk into city number one. City number one can't walk into city number two. So this is relevant theoretically to walking from Riverdale to Manhattan, because you have this picture, a similar picture. However, your Mirabeya Manhattan. Manhattan's ribua doesn't go into Riverdale, but Riverdale's ribua goes into Manhattan. So, according to Rav Schechter, if I am recounting this correctly, you would be allowed to walk from Riverdale into Manhattan on Shabbos, but you couldn't walk from Manhattan to Riverdale. And the third possibility is that, and this is the possibility that is developed by Sefer Machane Yisrael. The Sefer Machane Yisrael is the Bar Kluxa of the Sefer Kiryas Ariel. And the Sefer Machane Yisrael believes that if you have overlapping ribuas, then everything goes. Meaning you can walk from one ribua into the other ribua. They're both considered to be the entire city. They're all part of the city. And one can go into the other. So there, according to this, and this is Rabbi Willick's position, you could walk freely from both Riverdale to Manhattan and Manhattan to Riverdale. Usually once a year, Rabbi Willig begins Shabbos in Yeshiva, Friday night, and then walks home after the Suda late Friday night. Because he believes that this is the correct position. You can have overlapping ribuas in both directions, and then you can walk from Riverdale to from Manhattan to Riverdale. He thinks that even though the Chazon Ish wrote otherwise in these instructions about Tel Aviv, the Machane Yisrael thinks, Chazon Ish was closer later, and it's clearer from other later dated pieces in the Sefer that he had a different position. So he claims that this is indeed the final position of the Chazon Ish. And in the Sefer Gvul Rishonim, he quotes this B'Shem of Chaim Kanievsky as well, in the position of the Chazon Ish, that overlapping ribuas are permissible. So this is a outstanding issue among contemporary poskim, how you treat overlapping ribuas. If you work with overlapping ribuas, so then, let's say you walked over the George Washington Bridge, Manhattan's tchum only goes, let's say, until southern Teaneck, at best. But then, if you want to keep on walking past there, if you have overlapping ribuas, you have to do all the calculations, but Teaneck has his own ribua, and you could keep on going much further. So with overlapping ribuas, there is much more latitude. You have to, again, make all the calculations, but much more latitude about how far you could travel on Shabbos.
And if one goes into two and two goes into three and three goes into four, then
you can keep on going to California. It won't happen because there are breaks. Any industrial area would potentially be, cause a break, or any lack of settlement would cause a break. But you have to do all the calculations. A lot easier now with Google Maps and all that technology.
A Gapel's Bridge replacement apparently is going to have walking paths.
Okay.
Somebody potentially has a late flight into Newark, and they live in Staten Island, or even, well, you can't go over to Brooklyn. Would Rav Schechter hold that you could technically go from, let's say, the New Jersey side over back to Staten Island?
So you have to see it all in that. I mean, an airport is usually not a airport is not a settled area, so it could be you don't even get started. But it might be inside of the Rebu of a different city. So you have to look at everything.
What's the maximum you can walk from the safe?
I've never researched that.
Yeah. Like something that has to go to Hackensack Hospital, or
so.
With Orange, I've heard people go, like on the summer Shabbos.
There are different ways to get to Hackensack, but you'd have to. I haven't worked on that. I think someone in town did.
I don't give a share a bunch of years ago.
BCCK brought in someone a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, different ways of getting to St. Joseph's and to Hackensack. And there are ways to walk it.
I'm sure there are. I just haven't done the research myself. I don't know what the.
If
I
really needed something like a candy bar, would that help? Don't hold them over around the summer?
If you don't have a hold of overlapping Ribua, so then you could...
But he felt that you didn't even need to do that before this.